Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. We're going to be in there tonight. Just a couple of announcements to for you guys to be preparing for and praying about and all that stuff. We're going to be having a baptism service. I don't have an exact date yet. We're kind of working with David and some of the guys at the Blake House, but some of y'all had expressed an interest on getting baptized, and I think that's awesome, and I'm totally pumped and excited about that. So we're going to be having a baptism service sometime in the next few weeks, and we'll be letting you know the exact date when we get that nailed down. And the 25th, Brother Jeff's going to be sharing and bringing the word and sharing about the ministry work and all that stuff that's going on in the Philippines. So we're looking forward to that. So that's going to be coming up on the 25th. So y'all remember those things. All right. Yes.
Leah's come up with, and we talked to them about, we're going to do the luminaires for the candles that they're biodegradable. We're going to do them on a Wednesday night fairly soon, where we set those off at dark for, and the family and everybody's going to come. We'll be telling more details exactly when that's going to be, but it's going to be in the next couple of weeks.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. So we'll remember those things coming up. If you're out of town, enjoy your vacation, and if you're in town, then stay plugged in the house. That's the best thing I can tell you. So, all right, I want us to be in Luke 1. We're going to talk about the, I want us to talk tonight about stewarding our personal encounters with God. Stewarding our personal encounters with God. The Lord's kind of been speaking to me a good bit on this lately, and we've been having a lot of discussion, seems like, with Jacob and Stephanie as we visit with them and minister with them on what we call God winks. You know, where you're just going through your day and you have something that happens and you know it's from heaven. You know it's from God. It's not just a coincidence or something like that. And they've been getting a good many of those lately, and very much needed. And so it's just cool. And a lot of them are real personal, so I'm not going to share those and all of that stuff. I hadn't asked permission, so I'm not going to run out there. I know it's contrary to what I usually do. But they've just been having a lot of those. And a lot of times I'll call them a God kiss. You know, his kiss on our lives and everything. But it's one thing to have those, but it's something else to properly steward those. And I think one of the big things that will either open up and not only maximize those moments with God and just any of the giftings or anything like that, but open up the door for more in future encounters or being used and all that, is how we steward what God brings into our life. And so I want us to really get the concept of properly stewarding these personal God encounters. You know, a lot of people, they feel like, man, God's just not using me, and I feel like I'm just dried up and all that stuff. And one reason is good possibilities because you haven't been stewarding what God's been doing in your life. You haven't been stewarding the encounters. You haven't been stewarding the opportunities. You haven't been stewarding the gifting that's brought in or the teaching, that God's put in you and those things. And so it's crucial for us to understand that when we have these encounters, whether it's corporate or private, or we have these giftings in our lives. I mean, many of you, I look around the room, and many of you guys are gifted in many areas and all that. And when we don't use those things and steward those things properly, the Word teaches us God's going to take that and He's going to give it to somebody else. I'm a firm believer of that. And I can bear that out in many different passages of Scripture, of Jesus' teachings. If as a minister of the gospel, Jeff is a minister of the gospel, Jeremy is a minister of the gospel. If we come in, we're gifted to teach the Word. We're gifted to preach the Word. If I don't use that and I don't develop that in blessing others and ministering to others, then we'll see God begin to take His hand off and move and amplify in somebody else's life. Catherine Coleman said that the anointing, many of you have heard of her from the 70s, just huge, huge healing ministry in the 70s, just phenomenal stuff that God did, and she walked in such a presence, and she said, I know without a shadow of a doubt that the gifting and the anointing that I received in the healing ministry was a result of two men rejecting that gifting. There are two men that rejected the anointing, that rejected the call, that did not steward it properly when it brought it into my life. And so it was, and it came to her, and she said yes to it. And I want to be one of these where I have these encounters with God that I say yes to it, and it leads to more encounters. And I'm convinced that a lot of times when we stop having encounters is because we stop saying yes. One thing that I long for in my life is I want God to speak to me in my sleep. I want to have supernatural sleep. I believe that that's a biblical thing that we can pray for and ask for, is that God can supernaturally just rejuvenate our body, refresh our body as we sleep. I also believe that God can and will download things into us while we sleep, download things into our spirit. But I want to go beyond that, and me personally, I want to have dreams. Caroline's a big dreamer. I mean, she's doggone 3 years old, and she dreams like crazy. And I'm praying that that will develop into spiritual dreams, that it'll develop into supernatural stuff and all that. But I want to have dreams. I want to have visions. The Word talks about it and all of that stuff, and I want that, Jeff. And I want to have God waking me up for things and pressing me on things and all of that stuff. One fear I have, though, is as God starts to engage me in this arena that I want Him to engage me in, is if He wakes me up at 5 o'clock and He wants to have this encounter with me, and I roll over and go back to sleep because I'm tired. I know none of y'all ever do that. Y'all are all spiritual, and y'all are Johnny on the spot, and when y'all wake up, y'all start praying in tongues, right? The Lord woke me up one morning this week. It's like, I mean, it was 5 o'clock right on the spot. Usually I get up at 6, but it was 5 o'clock right on the spot. First thing that came to my mind was Jacob and Stephanie. And so I just started interceding and started praying for Jacob and Stephanie. And I know that that was a God thing, because immediately when I woke, I immediately started thinking about them. And so I engaged. And I got that one right, but there's been a lot of times I don't get it right, guys. And so I want us to learn to steward things properly so that it opens up gates so that we can go into deeper places, okay? I could have went a lot of different places in the Word. We've been spending a lot of time in the first century church in the book of Acts and looking at how the first century church did life together. And I could have definitely gone to that and looked at a corporate type setting. But I chose to go. I felt like the Lord pressed me to go into Luke and to look at Zechariah. Zacharias was John the Baptist's father, and he had this amazing encounter with an angel of the Lord. And I like the things, the points. There are a lot of good preaching points on this, on how we can develop and see how he responded and stewarded this personal encounter. So that's what we want to talk about tonight. So we're going to start in verse 5 in chapter 1, Gospel of Luke. Everybody there? Everybody good? All right, if you got comments, just throw your hand up and all that. All right, verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. I'm going to read about 15 verses, so y'all hang in there with me. We're going to go through fairly quickly. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He was signifying that he would live a Nazarite vow. And the Nazarite vow is you didn't drink wine or strong drink, you didn't touch anything that was dead, and you didn't cut your hair. And that was the Nazarite vow. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elisha, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? for I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering and said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zacharias, and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed into his own house. And after those days his wife Elizabeth conceived, and hid herself 5 months, saying, Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me, to take away my reproach among men. Beautiful story here. Most of you are probably familiar with this story. Zacharias was a priest. His wife was Elizabeth. The Word says that they were righteous before God, and they walked in all the Lord's commandments, that they were blameless. But there was one mark on their life, or seeming mark on their life. They had no children. In that culture, in that society, that was shown as having disfavor from God. If you had a household full of kids, that was favor of the Lord, especially sons. You know, if I had been living in that culture, we'd probably have 6 kids, because I'd still be trying to spit out sons. You know, be daughter after daughter after daughter, but I'd still be trying to have sons. That was the culture in which they lived. And so it looked like they were out of favor with God, because they hadn't, they didn't have any children at this point. I just got it's not a personal email, but I've subscribed to Havila Cunningham and the stuff that she sends out. She sent one out this week, and I read through it and all of that stuff. And basically the premise of it was, sometimes it's just not time yet. And I look at Zacharias and Elizabeth, and society would say something's wrong with them. Society would say they are not in having the favor of God. And it just wasn't their time yet. And so if things haven't happened in your life yet, it may just not have been time yet. So be patient and wait on the Lord and stay the course and trust in Him and have faith in Him. And I believe that these promises of God, the Word says they're yes and amen, and He's going to bring these things to pass. So, you know, stay the course, guys. We live in such a microwave society that we get frustrated real easy when it doesn't happen just like that. And a lot of times it's going to take time for these things to bear out and come to fruition. You guys are going to see this somewhat in relationships, because you're coming in, you're spending 10 months in the Blake house, and then you're going to get out, and these relationships, not all of you, but a lot of you have damaged relationships because of the issues that brought you into the Blake house. And you're going to get out, and you're going to expect all of a sudden, because God's been doing some amazing stuff in your life for these 10 months, you're going to get out, and you're going to expect these relationships to be, pow, everything's restored and everything's great and everything's like it was before. And that may not be the case. It may be a thing that it takes time. It may be a thing that takes months. It may be a thing that takes years. But you've got to be persistent, and you've got to stay the course, and you've got to have faith, and you've got to be saying, God, I just trust that this thing is going to come to fruition. So that's just something I wanted to throw out there to you guys. Because me, I am not the most patient guy on the planet. I mean, I am a super type A, and I really, but I'm not patient, and it's hard for me sometimes to wait on the Lord. And He says, "Be still and know that I'm God. Wait on me." And when we do that, it on His timing, things will come and unfold. And so I look. That's one reason I was really encouraged about this year, because the Lord told me this year was the year of the budding of Aaron's rod, and I took that personal. And that was God's sign to me. That was God's kiss on my life, that this year is a thing that things are going to come into fruition in different areas. And so I'm real excited about that. But Zacharias and Elizabeth didn't have a child at this point. He was doing his thing. He was still staying his course. He was still ministering in the temple. He didn't quit on that. He was doing what he was called to do, doing what he was anointed to do, doing what was in his bloodline. And so he was in there doing these things. And he had this encounter with God. The angel of the Lord appeared to him. And it wasn't just any angel of the Lord. It was Gabriel. Gabriel's one of the archangels. There's 3 archangels, Michael, Gabriel, and Lucifer. Lucifer fell, And Michael and Gabriel, they're still with God and all that. Michael is the warring angel. Gabriel's the angel that makes announcements and all of that. And he comes in and he declares things. He stands in the presence of God and hears what God says, and he declares those things. And so this was the encounter that he had. And Gabriel came to him and said, hey, man, you're going to have a child. You're going to have a son. I know you're old. I know your wife's old. She's past the age of childbearing. But you're going to have a son, and you're going to name him John. And which right off the bat said he's going to be different. He's going to do a Nazarite vow. And he's going to be a forerunner for the Messiah. And so he makes all of this bold statement and this bold declaration to Zechariah. And it's blowing Zechariah's mind. Definitely, definitely, definitely a God encounter. But what I want you to understand, guys, is a lot of times we'll look for these huge, monumental God encounters, and sometimes it's just a wink. Sometimes it's just a wink. Sometimes it's just a glance. In my level of relationship with her, I can get a quick glance from her, and it can speak volumes to me. It can mean, shut up, you're talking too much. It can mean you're in trouble. It can mean, hey, big boy, you know, thumbs up. It can mean a lot of things just by a glance. But because of my level of intimacy with her, or my level of the fact we've been together for a long time, 37 years, because we've been together for 37 years, I can read so much into her look that I can't necessarily read into Kathy's look. And I've known Kathy for many, many years, and I love Kathy, and we've got a great relationship. But my level of intimacy and my level of time spent with her is not nearly as much as my time with her. But now Doyle can get the look, and he can see and say, man, I just got the stank eye. I didn't see the stank eye, but Doyle saw it. Y'all know, you see what I'm saying, guys? And it does not have to be a monument. Not saying you ever get the stank eye, but just hypothetically speaking, brother, okay? Hypothetically speaking. I want us to recognize the glances, the winks, the nods, the little kisses, those things, because they happen far more often than the monumental things. And sometimes that look is monumental. Okay? Sometimes that look can speak volumes. I had a situation when we came. It wasn't a situation. We just got back from Patagonia. And y'all know how you are after you come back from a really good vacation and you get back to Harrison County and you pull up into Corinth, and immediately a little bit of depression sinks in, right? I know it doesn't happen to any of you guys. But you pull up and you're like, got to go back to work tomorrow. And you get the mail, and I don't know about y'all, but Randy never delivers me checks. It's just always bills, you know. So you get the mail in my personal house. And you got this stack of bills, and you're like, okay, back to reality, and you're a little bummed out. Everybody relate? And so I got back from Patagonia, and I was like, man, I just left this amazing place, and I'm back in Corinth. And I got to go to Bremen, and I got to work, you know, tomorrow, and all of this stuff and everything. And I was a little bit, and I pulled up behind Aaliyah's house and was going to, you know, clean the chicken coop or something glorious like that. And so I pull in up there to take care of the chickens and all of this. But it sits up on a hill, and the most amazing sunset lit up the sky. I mean, it was just like, wow. And you know what that was for me? That was a God encounter. Because the Lord said, I know you just left an amazing place, but this place is pretty doggone amazing if you'll let it be. And He showed me that, Doyle, and He spoke that to me. And you know what it was? It was just a glance. It was just a wink. It was just a little kiss. It wasn't a monumental thing. I didn't come in and have this amazing revelation and God handed me keys and said, come up here to the third heaven or anything like that. But it was enough of a God wink that I knew it was God. And I felt that still small voice in the moment. And so I want to be more keenly aware of those things, because one thing that I found, Jacob and Stephanie right now are looking for those things. They're looking for those things. And because they're looking for those things, you know what? God's meeting them there. And they're seeing them. Talking about it every day. We'll be able to say, man, guess what God wink I got today. And I love it that they're calling it that in the place that they're at. You know, and they're just sharing with us these God winks and everything. I'm like, man, that is cool. That is awesome. He loves you so much. In the midst of this, He loves you so much. And so it's really cool. And I want to hide my awareness of these things, Randy, where I don't miss it. I don't miss it. I catch it. And okay. And so I wrote down some notes about Zacharias that I think are applicable to all of us. With Zacharias, it was kind of a no-brainer, guys. I mean, the angel shows up, the archangel of the Lord, one of the two, you know, big daddies of heaven shows up and's like, hey, dude, I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of the Lord. Listen to what all I got to say. Duh, that's a no-brainer. But I want us to recognize the significance of every encounter. And so that's the first thing that I wrote down on this. Even something, my note says, even something as small or simple as a God wink is significant. We all want these monumental encounters, but often the simple ones are the sweetest. Often the simple ones are the sweetest. I think the first key to stewarding our personal encounters with God is recognizing the significance of the encounter. And you say, well, that wasn't that big a deal and all, or anything like that. Think about the source of the encounter, guys. If it's monumental, we say, wow, that blew me away. That's huge. But when you start seeing the source of the encounter, then you realize the significance of the encounter. Amen? When we come into this place and we engage God, we're engaging the God of the universe. We're not engaging each other. We're not engaging the worship team. We're engaging the one that spoke this into existence. The one that said, let there be light. Light jumped out of His mouth at 186,000 miles per second. And I want us to recognize the source of the encounter. How many of y'all met somebody before it didn't have to, I didn't say you went out to eat with them or anything like that, but you met somebody that was famous or maybe a hero or something like that, and you had that encounter with them, and you're kind of like, man, that was cool. Because there was a weight in who you had the encounter with. I remember as I was a kid in 69 when man walked on the moon, John Glenn, Lord help me, was it John Glenn or Neil Armstrong? Neil Armstrong, sorry, my history slipped, I'm getting old. Neil Armstrong, I remember I was in Chicago visiting my uncle and my aunt, and they had a parade. This was right after they had walked on the moon and all this stuff, and they were doing a parade along the lakeshore in Chicago. And man, we were sitting there with, you know, 15, you know, probably 150,000 other people lining the streets and all of that. And I remember I was sitting on the curb, and back then, you know, they were riding in the cool 1969 convertible cars, the legit convertible cars and all this stuff. And they were sitting back up on the back, you know, where we used to sleep as a kid, you know, when we went to Florida and all that. But they were sitting back up there. And I remember they drove by, and it was about as far as me to you from them where they went by. And that left a mark on me because I'm like, that cat just walked. I mean, you know, I'm a 7.5-year-old kid. And I'm sitting here, and I still remember that moment, and it left a mark on me because I said, that man just walked on the moon just a few months ago. He didn't stop and say, hey, Sid, what's happening, man? I didn't go out to eat with him, but I had a brief encounter in the fact that I was in his presence, and as a 7.5-year-old kid, an astronaut, that the first man to walk on the moon, that's a pretty big hero. And I'm like, wow, that was weighty. That's what I want to get across. It was weighty. And when you understand that God woke me up in my sleep, that should be weighty to us. God showed me the significance of a sunset. That should be weighty to us. And I think the key, I know the key to the first thing is recognizing the significance of the encounter. Recognizing the significance of the encounter. I remember when the girls were smaller, we were in Park City skiing, brother, and we were eating at the little Mexican joint up at the base of the mountain and all that stuff, and Peekaboo Street was in there, and we saw Peekaboo Street, and she was eating with this older guy, and she was an Olympic skier and won some gold medals and all of that stuff. And that was when she was right in the middle of her heyday and all of that. And we finished right before they did, and we went outside, and her dad came out. And so I went up to him, and I said, "Hey, man, I don't want to, you know, because I don't just go up to people in restaurants." But I said, "Man, I saw you were, you know, eating with Peekaboo Street and all that stuff and everything." And I said, "I got two young daughters that, man, think she's just awesome." And they were back at the room with Scott. Me and Lori had a date night that night. And I said, "They think she's awesome and everything." I said, "Do you think there's any way we might get..." I didn't know it was her dad. And he said, "Well, I'm her dad. Of course she'll give you your autograph and all that stuff." And so she came out a few minutes later, and we had a five-minute conversation with her. And it was really, really cool because we had an encounter with somebody that I admired from a sports standpoint, okay? Not putting her a deity or anything like that, but admired her from a sports or accomplishment standpoint. She was an Olympic gold medal winner and everything. But the thing is, and you know, there was a T-shirt shop like right there. And when he said, "Yeah," Lori went in and got two T-shirts, you know, and all that stuff, and got her signed. The girls have still got them in one of their closets with the, you know, other stuff and all. But I recognized the significance of an encounter that I had with somebody. And I think that we go through life and we bring God down to our level. And when we bring God down to our level and so humanize Him, we miss the significance of encounters. Any of y'all guilty of that? Isaac, be careful, man. As a teenager, cherish the moments that the God of the universe stops and has an encounter with Isaac Crane. I'll go ahead and one-up it. If it's something that's pretty significant, and all of them are significant, but it's something that he really speaks to you, journal it. Because I don't, or I haven't. I've started. Just in my mid-50s, I've started journaling stuff, and I've got all these notebooks, and I'm starting to write all this stuff. And who knows, I don't know, one day I might compile it all together. It might just be the girls, when I die, get 68 notebooks full of God notes. But recognize, man, as you're going through this journey of life and this journey of faith that you're on, recognize the significance of the moments, even if it's a small thing, even if it's a glance, even if it's just a wink, because it can be huge in that moment, okay? Be huge in that moment. God giving me that little God wink of the sunset back from Tipaluque, or when I got back from Patagonia, that was God telling me to be content with Bremen, Georgia. That to a lot of people, Bremen, Georgia is an amazing place, and it'll be amazing to me if I will allow it to be. Okay? I run into that when I go off to some awesome conference at Bethel or something, and I come back to Victory, and I'm not knocking Victory. I love Victory. Victory's home. Victory's home. I absolutely love it. It's the same feeling I get when I go out there. Just out there, it's on steroids, you know? And it's got to do more with the crowd, not the location. But when I come up here, there's always seems like they're, you know, right after the heels of a significant event like that, there's a little bit of a letdown. Same way with a mission trip. Why do you think when people come back from a mission trip, they beat up the home crowd? Jeff doesn't do that, but I've seen a lot of them do it. They'll come back, you know, and it's like, "Y'all are pitiful, you know, Christians and all of this stuff and everything." And a lot of it is just because they have come back from this high, and there's a letdown. But recognize the significance of the encounters. And it puts us in our proper position and proper perspective, okay? So that's the first thing in stewarding an encounter with God is recognizing the significance of it, all right? Anybody got a word on that, comment on that? Y'all good? Jeremy, what you got, brother?
Wait a minute. That way it picks up on the thing.
That just puts all the pressure on it, don't it? Right. I think that, you know, one of the key things that I've had to do in my life is in order to value those encounters, you first have to be able to see them. And we've got to realize a lot of times that God doesn't move the way you think He's going to move. With the thing that's happened recently here in our church family, me and an individual were having a conversation, and it was shortly after we had got the news, within, you know, a couple of hours, and my nerves were raw and my emotions were raw, and me and an individual are inevitably having that conversation that you have when a nice Christian family has a tragic event strike their family, of like, I'll edit, but like, what's going on? Like, I don't, this does not make any sense. And And I made this statement kind of came out of my mouth, and when it came out, I think it, the other person kind of like, and like, it was one of those things when it came out of my mouth, I kind of wanted to pull it back too until I realized that really there was truth in it. And I said, you know, sometimes God's just not who we think he is. I mean, he's just not. I mean, like, he's gonna let you down because his expectations for you are not, or, you know, not the same as your expectations. God's never going to meet your expectations because they're your expectations. And so life is not going to look like, now that I've been in this thing for a little while, Christianity doesn't look like what I thought it was going to look like. You know, if you had asked me 2 years into this thing what ministry would look like, what life would look like, it's nothing like what I had pictured, but it's even more richer. I was really cheapening it by giving it this really fine, nice polish and making it look a certain way. And in my head, you know, the fairy tale is, it's even more in depth, but it is different. And I think a lot of times we get this preconceived notion of what God looks like, how God moves. You've even, you know, one of the hardest things for people, we have people ask us a lot of times, you know, as ministers, like, well, how do you hear God? Well, number one, you got to stop listening for him like he's you. You know, because he's not. And like, a lot of times God's not going to talk the way you think he should talk, and he's not going to act the way you think he should act. And in order to really begin to value those encounters, you really just have to start seeing them for what they are and start looking for them everywhere. Because God oftentimes is going to speak to you through your eyes. So when you may be driving down the road, you know, like bird, you know, and next thing you know, you're caught up in something, and God's beginning to speak. But you've got to really begin to look for those things.
And I think that's one of the reasons that Jacob and Stephanie are having so many of these right now, is because they're looking for them right now. Yes, they do. Yes. And when we get to that place where we're like, God, I so want to see you. I so want to see you. I so want to hear your voice. And he'll meet you there. I promise you guys, he'll meet you there. He will. He wants to. The second thing in stewarding our personal encounters with God is I put down that we need to understand the purpose of the encounter. With Zacharias, it was a real powerful announcement. You know, it was a no-brainer with Zacharias. It was a thing of, you're going to birth the forerunner for the Messiah. And your wife, she's old, but this something supernatural is going to happen. The encounter with Mary and the angel of the Lord, Gabriel, coming to her and saying, you're going to birth the Messiah. That was a undeniable purpose on this, where it comes in. And it was a bold statement and all of that. But sometimes the encounters are more of a, to give us peace, to give us hope, to give us joy. Right now, and I'll keep referring back to Jacob and Stephanie, is kind of where we are as a body and all of that stuff. But right now, they don't need all of this directional purpose in their life. You know what they need right now? They need peace. They need joy. They need hope. They need love. Sometimes the best thing I can do is just squeeze my granddaughter or grandson and just give them a kiss and say, man, I love you. And that's the purpose of it. It's not a thing of, you're going to go out and you're going to change the world and you're going to be this great this or this or this. Just simply, you know what? Poppy loves you. And my encounter with you today is just to simply say, I love you. Or maybe my encounter is, come here, let me fix that boo-boo. And so I think when we understand the purpose of the encounter, then we know how to steward it properly. You know, and here's the thing I'll hit on this in just a minute. With Zacharias, it was such a purpose thing that he immediately went out and he had to engage in activity, and we're going to talk with this about this in a minute. With Mary, she simply purposed it in her heart. Sometimes that encounter is just so we will sit and meditate on him and meditate on stuff and think on these things. Sometimes it's just be still and rest in these things. To understanding the, if we fail to understand the purpose of the encounter, then we miss on what the encounter is supposed to be in our life. You know, when I woke up one day this week. I don't remember what morning it was. It was Wednesday, so it couldn't have been, you know, but it's got one out of three. But when the Lord woke me up early this week, I recognized immediately the purpose of it, and that was to pray. Sometimes we sit here and say, boy, it's this doggone full moon. Right? My Ambien wore off, or, you know, too many tacos or whatever. And doggone it, and then we'll do our best to go back, and we miss God in that. We'll have encounters with people, you know. I'm going to tell on myself, I'm going to confess before you guys. I don't know why, but our road has got so much pedestrian traffic on it now. I mean, it's just like, and every one of them looks like they're homeless almost, you know. I mean, I was putting out pine straw at the road the other day, and, you know, some shirtless guy, you know, was walking by. How are you needing help on that? And Nate, you know, he's wanting me to give him some money to put out three bales of pine straw. I said, no, man, I'm good. You know, and I don't know where they come from. But Rockmart Road, they're just everywhere, you know. It might be some of you guys. I don't know. But I'm like, good Lord, me and Lori comment about it all the time. I went by one today coming home. I left work for a couple hours, come home and cut some hay. And I went home and I was like, golly, man, I ain't never seen that woman before. But, you know, she was like somebody from a safe house or something like that. And God asked me, he said, what if she's an angel? I said, well, I hadn't really contemplated that, Lord. The Word says we entertain angels unaware. And a lot of these things that we blow off or push off or we think are an inconvenience, you know, for us or to us could be an encounter with God that He really wants us to engage in. And the purpose of it is to teach us and show us and equip us for ministry. Because if I get, I don't know about you guys, but I get so consumed in my life and the stuff that I need to do in my life and the focus in my life that a lot of times I'm oblivious to people around me that, you know, I've got the keys to life for. I've got the way, the truth, and the life in Jesus Christ. But Nick, I'm so doggone busy, man, I ain't got time to stop and spend, you know, 15 minutes with these guys. Sometimes I'll get texts from people, and you can tell in a text if somebody's wanting to be brief or if somebody's wanting to engage in conversation. You know, can't you? And I'll get a text, and I don't have time to engage in conversation, so I'll hit them back like three words and all that stuff. And I'm missing the potential purpose of a potential God encounter. You see what we're saying in this? With you guys, here's what I want to challenge y'all on. You know, y'all are going through 10 months at the Blake House, and it can easily come into a thing where, man, this is all about me, and this is about me getting my act together and letting God come in and do stuff in my life and to clean me up and becoming a whole man and all that stuff. And that is, you do have to come in, and this is a season where God wants to come in, and man, He wants to gut you and clean you and then put you back together. And that's what He wants to do. But if you're not careful, you'll fail to recognize that there's 35 other guys that I'm living with for 10 months. Some of them won't be 10 months. There are new guys come in and other guys will go out and all that stuff. And it's easy to fail to recognize that I've got opportunities to pour life into somebody or give encouragement to somebody or just to help undergird somebody because, man, maybe this dude's about to go through inner healing and it's just wrecking him and is maybe he just got word that his, you know, wife said, I'm done, or his kids are, you know, he hadn't seen his kids in, you know, 5 years and then it doesn't look, maybe that's not going to happen in the short term. And so he's devastated. And you guys have opportunity to come in and say, man, let me just encourage this cat. Let me help this guy. But if we get so consumed, we miss the purpose of God encounters. All right? We had a long conversation the other day about skiing. You live in Colorado. We both like to ski. So, man, we talked skiing and ski mountains. I enjoyed it very much. But the deeper conversation was about our relationship with Christ and what God's wanting to do in your life and what God's wanting to do in my life and all of that. And if all I talked to you about were the virtues of Snowbird and all you talked to me about were the virtues of the Front Range of Colorado and all of that stuff, we miss out on, yeah, we have a good conversation and all that. We walk and say, man, I enjoyed that. That's cool. That's a cool cat. But I miss the supernatural opportunity that's in that. And that's what I want us to tap into. Because not only does God have you guys here for 10 months to go through the Blake House, but He wants to connect you to other people. He wants to connect you to the different houses of God and people in those houses of God, you know. Chevy, I love it, man, that Jeremy, the last three times that I've seen Chevy, not counting tonight, but the last three times before that, you know what he asked me? Where's Jeremy Crane at? I said, man, he's in Florida. Yeah, same difference, you know, it's in the Gulf. It's Sunday, where's Jeremy? I said, he's in Florida, man. You know, he's in Florida. But I love the fact that he's looking for Jeremy Crane. Because he recognized an opportunity to connect with a man of God. And you recognize an opportunity to pour into a guy that you may not, after 10 months or 20 months, depending on how long he's in the program and what levels he wants to go through, you may never see him again. But you recognize this is a God purpose, opportunity, and moment. And so when you recognize that, then you can have impact. And when you recognize that, then you can have impact. And you leave this place. So I'm getting texts today from the guys from Texas. Still getting texts from these guys. He's like, man, I need you to be praying about this, man. My work truck tore up and this and this and this and all that stuff. And that was a God purpose, opportunity. And when we recognize those things, then we can do what we're called to do and we're supposed to do. And we touch heaven and heaven touches us. And then out of that, you know what happens? The next Chevy that comes through the Blake House, God will say, Jeremy connected with the first Chevy. So when the next one comes through, then God will say, Jeremy did pretty good connecting with that one. You know what? I think I'll put something in that guy's heart that he's attracted to Jeremy Crane. There was a reason he was attracted to you. I know you're uncommonly good looking and all that, but there was a reason that Chevy, and you know what it was? It was a God thing. I'm serious. You recognize that. That was a God thing, Chevy. I'm not saying you're physically attracted to him. Don't worry. We ain't going on no homophobic stuff or anything like this. Everybody with me? Are y'all grasping this? And it's recognizing the significance of the encounter and then recognizing the purpose of the encounter. And both are huge. And if we fail to do these things, then we're not going to steward this properly. Okay? Lisa?
I hate this weird stick. Being an athlete, former athlete, I don't look much like one now, but being a former athlete, and I played basketball, there was a thing that I liked because it suited my game. And it was, you're going to miss 100% of the shots you don't take. And when I didn't shoot, I wasn't going to score for my team. Okay? And so trying to relate this a little bit to that, when I shot without the help of my teammates or without my coach's direction, I wasn't always successful. But when I had my teammates and I had my coach kind of give me some direction and teach me some things, I was able to be very successful. I was pretty good, just so you know. I was pretty good, okay? And it's fact. No, I'm just kidding.
You can Google that.
Yeah. But if you need autographs later, just kidding. But what I want you to understand is over the last 2 years, I just had a physical birthday, but I also had my spiritual birthday. I've been in this church 14 years, okay? And I was here because I saw something different in Lori when I was coaching their daughters. And I just had my 14-year mark, but it's taken me a long time to kind of, and I haven't arrived, but it's taken me a long time to kind of get to this point where I'm okay to shoot, okay? I never had that problem in the physical when I was playing basketball. I wanted the ball. I was that girl. I wanted to shoot it, okay? But spiritually, I've kind of taken a back seat to that at times. But now, over the last year and a half, 18 months, two years, I've decided that, okay, I'm going to step outside of my comfort zone. Okay, I'm going to step into the playing field with the Lord, and I'm going to let Him guide me. And if I shoot and I miss, it's not on me. If I'm doing what He told me, it's on Him. He just used me to go plant a seed or to throw a little water on something. And there have been times where I've seen the product finish, okay? But we miss 100% of the shots we don't take. And we can't worry. All this sounds, you know, the God encounters, we got to look for them. When I was a player, I looked for every shot I wanted to take. I didn't see a bad shot. I liked them all. Okay? But in that, my percentages might be good one day, they might be bad the next. So as I took a little bit more guidance and I listened to the voices and my teammates, I was able to be more successful. And that to me, putting it in terms I can understand, is seeing those moments and seeing those shots we have. We can't be afraid to take them. If just like here, I was kind of sitting back here thinking, oh, I don't want to do this. But I know you got to take that shot. And if you have that little voice, that the devil's not telling you to go minister to somebody. He's not telling you that. So step out of that box and go take that shot, and let's see what happens.
Amen. All right. Anybody else? What time is it, somebody? Tendo, shout. We're doing good. All right. Understand the purpose of the encounter. The third thing that the Lord spoke to me about this was, and Zacharias, getting back to our biblical example tonight, Zacharias got it, man. I mean, he's like, whoa, okay, this is heavy. You know, took a little bit of convincing, but he's like, man, this is heavy. And the next thing that I wrote down that the Lord spoke to him on this is, sometimes we're to noise the encounter, and sometimes it's private. Often our encounters are a source of hope, encouragement, or permission to others. So when I have these encounters with God, and God speaks these things to me, and these amazing things happen, and all of that stuff, you know what? Often now, if it's a private thing, God will speak to you, and sometimes I miss the Lord because I think everything's public, and God's like, no, that was private. Keep that in your pocket. That's for you. And I'm doing better the older I get. Now, believe it or not, now if you Victory folks, believe it or not, I am doing better the older I get. God will speak stuff to me, and I'll actually put it in my pocket, and He'll say, that was for you. Okay? But oftentimes, our encounters with God, even if it's a wink, are to be shared with others because it gives them hope, it gives them encouragement, and it gives them permission. It gives them permission. Because we came in and we talk about, man, God woke me up and just, you know, had me interceding and praying for people. Well, you know, if you wake up at 5 in the morning, then, you know, it might be, oh, okay. Sid was just talking about this. This is, Lord, I feel like this is you, and so I'm going to engage you. He may want you to go get a cup of coffee and sit in your kitchen or on the back porch and get in the Word so He can speak to you like that. It may be to intercede for me and say, that old boy needs some prayer, and you're interceding for me. But you see what I'm saying? Oftentimes, it will give permission to others. And when you get out there and you're shooting, it gives permission for this other person to shoot. You know, it's okay. You know, if you see me try to operate in the prophetic, and I feel like that God's saying this, it gives you permission to. I've seen God developing you more in this area, Lisa. God will start giving you words for people, and so you're not afraid to share and release these words into people's life. But the reason that you feel like that you can, or one of the reasons, I'm not going to say the only reason, but one of the reasons that you feel like that you can flow in that is because you've seen me and Lori try to flow in that. And you know, and sometimes I shoot an air ball, but I feel like I heard the coach say shoot. And so I'm going to jack it up. You know, when we have baptism service in a couple weeks, I'm going to be looking for any kind of prophetic inkling I get over whoever's getting baptized. I love that thing. When you got baptized and these other people got baptized and God just started speaking to me prophetically about y'all's names, I don't know if that left a mark. That was powerful to me. And I was like, whoa, man, God, that's good. That's good. The significance of the name, the uniqueness in the name. That's what I still remember that word over you, brother. You know, because you said, man, what's your name? It's Chevy. And I was like, well, what's your, you know, your given name? It's Chevy. And I'm like, dude, that's it. God started immediately. The Father spoke to me and He said, that's a unique name. And He said, you tell him that I have made a unique, placed a unique name on him. His earthly Father did, but His heavenly Father did too. And said that you are unique and wonderfully made. That's what it says in Jeremiah. And He's got purpose and He's got plan for you that He has for nobody else. I've never met anybody named Chevy. That's cool, man, that you've got that unique name. But God says, I put a unique name on you, and you're not like anybody else. And with that unique name is a unique calling and a unique journey and a unique walk. But what this does is it gives us permission to flow in these things. You know what's going to happen to you, brother? you're going to start giving prophetic words to student athletes. I'll go ahead and declare it. You're going to be on the daggone football field, and God's going to start messing with you about some little old linebacker that you're coaching. And you're going to come up, and you're going to be like, you know, you need conversation and all that, and you'll be like, you know, Jack, I feel like the Lord's saying this to me about that. You know, I'm a man of faith and all of this stuff, and I just feel like God, you why this and that, but I feel like the Lord's saying this. And God's going to start, I'm going to go ahead and declare it right now, because I'm feeling this push from the Lord, so I'm going to go ahead. You're going to start releasing that into some of these kids at Bremen High School. You're going to start releasing that into some of your wrestlers. God's going to start speaking stuff to them, and sometimes it will be encouragement for them. Sometimes it will be to give them hope. Sometimes it will be something to undergird them. And sometimes it will be directional stuff, because they're looking for direction. And so I believe God's going to start, he's going to start doing that in you. I believe that, Nick. I'm going to go ahead and prophetically tell you. Y'all agree with me on that? Y'all, as a body, amen. I'll just declare that over Nick and Amanda on both of them right now. Lisa's been flowing that. You just keep rocking that on, sister. You keep rocking that on. I believe this FCA trip that you have going down to the to St. Simon's or Jekyll or wherever it is that you guys are going over the 4th of July, I believe that you and Nick are going to flow, because he's carrying some students down there and you're carrying some students. You got several girls from your ball team going. And I believe that there's going to be a release, because it's going to be an atmosphere that not only is it permissible, but it's going to be an atmosphere that's conducive. And I believe that God is going to begin to open up heaven and pour stuff into you that He wants you to release into these young ladies in this unique setting that you're in. Because it's going to be a different setting than the ball fields at Carrollton. It's going to be a different setting, the batting cage, but it's going to be down there, and it's going to be a place to where they're open and receptive and pliable to a move of God, and God's going to use you as a mouthpiece in there. So just be ready for that. And I know you're already preparing for that, because you approached me and you're like, you know, man, I just, you know, kind of, there's something stirring in you. You feel like you're going to baptize some folks down there, you know, and that's stirring in you. I promise you that ain't the devil stirring that in you. I promise you that's not the devil stirring that in you. And I just believe that's going to happen. And we come in, and sometimes these encounters with God are supposed to be voiced. Nick talked about it a couple of Wednesday nights ago when he talked, and on the, you know, when the guys tore the roof off and all that, and he said there were noisemakers. That's what he said, there were noisemakers. And sometimes I'm to be a noisemaker. This is what God's doing, guys. It's what John the Baptist was. John the Baptist was having these encounters with the Holy Spirit when he was in his mother's womb. That was the declaration of Gabriel to his dad, Zacharias. He said he's going to be filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. So he already had these encounters. So as soon as he gets out, he starts making this prophetic declaration. The Messiah is coming. Prepare the way. The kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven. Then he sees Jesus. Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. I mean, he starts declaring that. That's the most powerful prophetic declaration ever made. Ever float off a man's lips, behold the Lamb of God, when he saw Christ. And it was because of an encounter. Sometimes they're private, but sometimes they're to be very, every one of them ain't private. God's giving you stuff, sister, to release into people.
Something I was listening to Benny Johnson, she was teaching along this same, in this chapter, the difference in how Zechariah received the word and how Mary received the word. If you go on in the chapter, the same angel goes to Mary and tells her, you're going to conceive and you're going to have the Son of God. And she didn't say, look at Zechariah, and I'm in the message, so it's going to be a little bit different, but Zechariah said to the angel, do you expect me to believe this? He had grown old and cynical in his heart because he hadn't seen any fruit of it, his life. And Mary was young and tender to the things of God. And God tells us this is not an age thing. This can be a condition of our heart. How do we receive when God speaks to us? Are we old and cynical in our faith? Or do we want to have a soft heart like Mary and say, I see it now? If you look on in the chapter, the same angel Gabriel come to Zechariah, and he's like, I can't believe that. First of all, I've never had an angel step before me like that, but I don't know how I'd react. But I hope and I will pray that's what we're trying to teach and talk here, is for us to have that soft heart to the Father. For us to have that softness that when He does come to us, we're not cynical. We're not world beat down. But he can take all that away. It still happened for Zechariah. The word still come true, but he couldn't speak the whole time his wife was pregnant. He couldn't tell anybody, I'm going to call him John. He couldn't tell him any of this. He couldn't speak. And I don't want to go through those. I want to be that heart of Mary that says, okay, I see it all now. I see what you're saying to me. And God speaks to us in so many different ways, like Jeremy was talking about. You know, God is not what we always think he is. You know, we can hear him in different ways. We can see him in a sunset. We can know. It's like the world calls it intuition. I call it knowing. That's how a lot of times I just know. I just know, and I just jump out, like Lisa said, in that faith, and I shoot. And the result's up to him. It's up to him. But I just saw that good point of how is our heart? How is our heart pliable tonight? Are we going to be Zechariah, or are we going to be Mary?
Amen. Awesome. Okay, the last point I'm going to bring out, I probably got, what, 3 or 4 minutes? 2.5? All right, last point I want to bring out is... Put the appropriate action to the encounter. Put the appropriate action, and I've got appropriate double underlined there. Put the appropriate action to the encounter. Zacharias got this word from the Lord. You know what he had to do to conceive a child, to conceive John the Baptist? You know what he had to do? He had to go home and have it be intimate with his wife. He put appropriate action to the encounter. The angel said, your wife's going to get pregnant. Okay, well, we've got to have relations. And so he went home and he put the appropriate action to it. Mary, and Lori was talking about, it said that she pondered these things in her heart in the proper way. But she went home and she meditated on it and she softened herself before the Lord and she was like, behold thy handmaiden. That was her thing. Remember when she came in and she did the, I forgot what they call it, but when she went to see Elizabeth and she began to sing and declare the prayer or the praise before God and all of that. That was a result of her meditating on what the Lord had spoken to her through Gabriel. And her accepting that and receiving that in a soft heart, she could then come in and declare these things. And so her appropriate response was, I'm going to meditate on this for 3 months. You know, the time I'm going to see her. You look at Mary of Bethany. You know what her appropriate response to an encounter was when she came in John 12 and she anointed Jesus for his burial, and she broke the vase, and she put the oil and the spikenard and all of this over him. The whole room was filled with the fragrance. He was filled with the fragrance. She was filled with the fragrance. I love the duality of this. Everybody says that she walked away smelling like him. Guess what? He walked away smelling like her. That messes with me. I promise you that she didn't get in a hurry to go wash that stuff off her. You know what her appropriate response was? Son, I ain't washing my hair for a week because I smell like Jesus. Every time I smell that smell, it reminds me of that intimate encounter that we had. And so she wasn't in a hurry to wash this thing. She was letting that be just engraved, imprinted upon her, not engraved, imprinted upon her. So that was her appropriate response. The woman at the well, you know what her appropriate response was? She went to town and told all of the people, man, I just met a man that told me everything I've ever done. And she began to declare the good news of the gospel. The whole city came out and multitudes of them got saved. Her appropriate response was telling what God did in her life. Zacchaeus, you know what his appropriate response was? I'm going to go back and everybody that I've cheated, man, I'm giving them that plus sevenfold or however many fold it was. So his appropriate response was immediate restitution. Immediate restitution. That was his response. And I think about the lepers. You remember when Jesus healed 10 lepers? And he said, go show yourself to the priest. And all 10 of them, boom, they're out of here. Man, my skin is clean. I am good. This is awesome. I can't wait to get to the temple. When they're doing this sprint, going to the temple, one of them stopped and he came back and he began to worship Jesus. And Jesus marveled at it and he said, were there not 10 healed? Where are the 9? The appropriate response in that moment was not to run to the temple and show everybody what God did. The appropriate response in that moment was to fall at the feet of Jesus and worship Him. So I think the last thing, or the last thing we've got time for tonight, in stewarding our encounters well, are giving the appropriate response to the encounter. And when we give the appropriate response to the encounter, then we have other encounters. Or maybe that encounter endures. I've heard some ministers and some scholars suggest that perhaps the nine that didn't come back didn't maintain their healing, but the one did. I don't know. You know, I'm kind of under the thing of if Jesus heals you, Jesus heals you. What you do with it, it doesn't negate that thing, but it affects future things. But the bottom line is, when we have the appropriate response, it sets us up for success next time. It sets us up for success next time. And it sets us up for future encounters. So, I hope tonight was just some good basic nuts and bolts teaching and all that. I hope it was some stuff that God really spoke to you on. But if I can say anything to any of you guys, and no matter what level you're at, if you've been walking this thing out for 40 years, or if you're still deciding if you want to walk this thing out, I want to tell you, start looking for God encounters. And when you start looking for Him, you'll find Him. And He'll meet you there. Even if you don't know Him. I want to come in here and I want to challenge you guys. That I don't know about all you guys. I feel like I know these guys pretty well because I've walked with them for a while, and I feel like, you know, hopefully all you guys are saved, accepted Jesus Christ. I don't know about all you guys. Some of you I hadn't even formally met or anything. But a lot of times you'll hear a message like this, and you'll be like, yeah, Sid, you've been saved for 30 years. And I have. I've been saved for 30 years. You've been walking with God for 30 years. It's easy for you to hear His voice. I've got grandchildren that hear His voice. They don't have this long history with God. They're just tender and open to Him. And you say, man, I don't know God. That's okay. If you look for Him, you'll find Him. He said, if you seek Me, you'll find Me. He'll meet you where you're at. So if you come in, I'm not singling you out, brother. I'm just going to use you, okay, hypothetically speaking. If you come in and you say, man, I don't know about all this Christianity stuff, you know, I've never been around it. I wasn't raised in it. You know, I've had guys come up to me and say, man, this is the first time I've ever been in church when I got to the Blake House. I'd never been in church before I got to the Blake House. And this is, our first, on one of them, our church was the first church that cat had ever been in his life. He'd never heard the gospel and all that stuff. He didn't know God. So I could come in and say, man, just look for the encounters and listen for the encounters. And to him, it might be a foreign concept. But I promise you, if that were to be you, you'll find Him. You say, man, I don't know what He looks like. You'll know. Because it's deep calling out to deep. And He'll speak to you in places that the superficial world can't touch. That the intimacy of a woman can't touch. That the high of any type of artificial stimulant can't touch. The euphoria of, I'm an adrenaline junkie, the euphoria of adrenaline and all of that stuff, it can't touch. He will speak to you in places and meet you in places. You'll have encounters in places that are virgin to all this other stuff. Nothing else has ever touched those places. That's what God can do and what He wants to do. So I want to encourage any of you guys, man, if y'all even say, man, I do, this is a foreign concept to me and all that stuff, just seek the Lord, man. Just open yourself up to Him. And say, and here's the thing, raw honesty does not intimidate God and it doesn't offend God. If right now, you don't even have to wait till you get home. Right now, if you say, God, I don't know about all this stuff, you know, I've always thought it was bull hockey and all of this stuff, so I don't even know if you're real and all of that stuff, that doesn't intimidate Him. Say, God, if you're real, just start speaking to me. And God, start showing, reveal yourself to me. And you know what He'll do? He'll reveal Himself to you. He will. I'm not His favorite. Lori's not His favorite. Jeremy's not His favorite. But yet I am. You know what I'm saying in that? Because when you start this journey with God, then you can look and say, man, I'm His beloved. And you being His beloved means you're His favorite. There's no respecter of you over me, but you're his beloved. I've got 5 grandchildren. All of them age 6 and under. Every one of them is precious. Every one of them is unique. Every one of them is different. Every one of them can be a young child. You know what I mean by that? You ask me which one's my favorite. You know which one I'll tell you my favorite is? All of them. This afternoon, me and Caroline were watching the Troll movie. You know who is my favorite this afternoon? Caroline. Monday afternoon, me and Sydney, Hannah, and Zeeland were picking blackberries and eating blackberries with the horses. I got a horse that likes to eat blackberries. It's crazy. You know who my favorites were that afternoon? Zeeland and Sydney, Hannah. And that's the way God is. When he's with you and then having an encounter with you, you're his favorite. But so am I. And so is everybody else in there. So just open your heart up to him and open your mind up to him and say, God, I want to meet you and I want to know you. And I promise you, he'll meet you there. Guys, let's stand to our feet. Man, man, man. Here's the altar call tonight. Jeffrey, you can go ahead and start doing some worship real low. If you've got wonder, then that's okay, but that song's been on my heart this afternoon. Raw honesty before the Lord and say, God, here am I. There's a story in the Bible of a young man named Samuel. And his mom carried him to the temple and allowed him to live in the temple with Eli. And Samuel was a young guy and he didn't know the Lord. And the Lord came to him on 2 or 3 occasions one night. And he thought it was Eli. And so he came in and he said, Eli, what do you want? And he said, man, I don't want nothing. Go back to bed. Finally, on the 3rd occasion, Eli realized that this is God speaking to Samuel. So you know what Eli told him? He said, go back in there, and the next time you feel like God's speaking to you, here's your simple response. Here am I, Lord. Here am I, Lord. And then everything started unfolding after that. You don't have to have this amazing knowledge. You don't have to have this amazing dialogue that, oh, me and God's going to get into this super deep, heavy conversation and all of that stuff. All you got to do is just say, here am I, Lord. Here am I. And he will take it from there. So I think tonight our response, no matter if we've been doing this for 30 years or we hadn't done this yet, I think our response is, here am I, Lord. So I just invite you to spend some time in the altar. If you want to take communion with the Lord, if you need to pray, if you want me to pray with you, man, I'll pray. Anybody in this house will be happy to pray with you. Man, you can grab Jeff or me or Randy or Jeremy, Nick, any of you guys, Scott. If y'all need somebody to pray with you, man, y'all just grab one of us and we'll be happy to pray with you, Doyle, any of these guys. So just spend some time with the Lord tonight.
I don't do good with public speaking, so y'all bear with me on this. I'm probably going to sound like I'm rambling or something like that, but today was my God encounter. Jeff Vaughn, when I pulled up back with the bus, I was going to leave. People I went to go pick up didn't want to ride. I was going to go home. Jeff pulled up. I was going to wave and walk onto my car. Jeff made eye contact with me. So I walked up to him and started talking to him. We sat up front and talked for several minutes, and Jeffrey Thompson pulled up. This message is one I've been needing for a while. I've been battling really bad with depression and fear this week. I'm going for more x-rays tomorrow. Excuse me. On my back. It's just, I tell everybody that God might not have healed me physically, to the physical eye, but mentally he has. But something I need to believe in is not just tell people that. I believe it, but I don't believe it. So just, you never know when those God encounters are going to be. could be walking through a parking lot wanting to go home because you're tired and hungry and just make eye contact with somebody. So one eye contact experience with somebody could be that moment to talk to them, to move forward and to lead you to something that's going to touch your heart. As small as it might sound, walking to a parking lot did that for me today. So.
Sometimes it's just a look. Amen. Come on down if you need to. Come on down if you need to. Amen. Let's pray with you, brother. All right, let's come on over here. Jeff, come on. Hey, Randy. Doyle.